You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy Friday, and most importantly, happy Game 3 as these playoffs trudge along. It's fun to keep up with all these games. I'm currently watching the tail end of this Warriors-Spurs game, but it's time to talk about Game 3, which to me is going to be probably, given the way the first two games went, the most pivotal game in the series. As always, I'm Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News, and at 8.9 seconds, Adam's not on today because he did the other preview this week, so it's my turn. I know we got in a fake little tussle about that earlier in our show this week, but it's my turn, and I want to talk about Game 3, what I expect to see, how I expect it to go, changes I expect both teams to make, and who I think... I'm not going to guess who's going to win. I was terrible at that in the regular season, and I've been terrible at that with this Pacers team all season long. But I am looking forward to this game because I think that this is the game where, you know, I think like the final tweaks of like rotations and such will come in. And from after this game onward, I think it will be more about general strategy and things like that. But from game two, me and Adam talked about it. You know, Oladipo cannot handle, well, he can, but he's not doing great with these Cavs double teams. And that's been his problem literally all season. I mean, that he's so good at everything else that he could just be amazing if he could get through these. And I think that the Cavs are, this is an adjustment for both teams. I think the Cavs are going to get more traps going on him. Not even out of the pick and roll, though. You know, the pick and rolls where they go for it now, they've been letting Miles Turner shoot a lot. That's why Turner's shooting 12 to 15 shots a game. And David Thorpe, really smart guy, former coach. I forget where he writes now, but he's always on Zach Lowe's podcast. He's just a super smart X's and O's guy. He tweeted something I kind of agree with. He said, sometimes in this series, it seems like Turner is shooting because he's supposed to shoot, not because he thinks he's going to make it. And I agree with that. And that's a product of the way the Cavs are both playing him and trapping Depot, because Turner gets these super open looks from him. But he doesn't like necessarily love shooting those. But that's what Vic has to do, is get the ball to someone like even that Turner tangent was unrelated. But Depot has to get the ball to guys like that when he is doubled, and he has to do it right away. And that's what me and Adam talked about. It's like, if the double comes, picking up your dribble is the worst thing you can do, and he does that a lot, and he does it going away from the hoop. He'll take a step back and pick it up, and he hopes that help comes or something out. And I think that's kind of from Tom Crean at IU, because Tom Crean always would have a guy come to the ball out of traps, and that's a great strategy. And honestly, if McMillan did it, it would work. But Vic has a habit of kind of backing up and picking up his dribble and waiting on someone to come up. And, you know, since Darren, usually after the first pass of the possession, he kind of heads over to the corner or cuts through the lane, he's not in a good position to get up there to be in an area to receive it. So it's got to be on someone else who's on the wing. You know, I'm not saying Bojan, but it's probably Bojan to come up and be in position to get a pass if he picks up his dribble. But it's also on Oladipo to remember not to pick it up. You know, reset while keeping his dribble. If the two guys stay on him, he'll have a pass somewhere, and if not, they just have another play. But the traps will continue to come from Cleveland, and I imagine, you know, that's why they aren't playing Tristan Thompson, is because, you know, he's a great rebounder, but he's really groundbound, and he would be horrible at these traps, so they're keeping him off the court because he would not help them win. But the bigs they have are pretty mobile out there. You know, Nance has been really good out there. Kevin Love can move around a bit, even though he's not the fastest guy. And obviously LeBron, who plays the four, is just a freak. So they can get away with it a lot, and they have good defending guards too. Well, just George Hill. But George Hill does a good job in these two. So that's something I think the Cavs will be more aggressive with, these traps on Oladipo. And I think McMillan's adjustment, it should be what I said, is just keep someone, you know, in the slot or on the wing, and make sure they come up to the ball and are ready to receive it. And if they do catch it, well, the Cavs defense is still scrambling. Attacking is a good call there too, you know, or maybe just immediately setting another screen even could lead to some nice baskets. So that's one thing I expect to see from an adjustment for really both teams. Another one is, I think we're going to see double digit minutes out of Trevor Booker. He's been really good in both games, and I know that's a product of who he's playing with and who he's playing against. Strategically, he's been out there a lot with LeBron off the court. That is the best time for him, I agree. He would be horrible in any sort of matchup with LeBron, but I think that he's proven that he can match up with enough post guys on the Cavs that he'll get some more burn in this game, maybe with Sabonis even. With Sabonis, he has been a whole time. Maybe with Turner even. So I would like to see some of that. His work on the glass has been really nice. If they keep getting killed on the glass, the Pacers, they're gonna need something. And I like the chance that the Booker helps. I mean, they won the rebounding battle both games the Pacers have, but they need to do that to be in these games, because giving this high-powered Cavs offense more possessions will just kill them. So I think Booker might get a little bit more burn in lieu of Sabonis, who's been really not great in this series. I don't know how much more. I think it's tough to say, but he already went up in minutes from game one to two. So I think 2 to 3, we'll see a little bit more Trevor Booker at the expense of Thaddeus Young, probably, which is interesting. But if that doesn't happen, I actually think we might see a little bit of Thaddeus Young at center, something I've loved the idea of all season long. Going small might work against LeBron and Shooter's group, and I think it's that easy to counter. You just go Thad and Bojan as your post guys, or I guess Thad and Booker even as your post guys, and then run out any group of guards and wings you want, and just pray you can keep up with them on offense. I think it'll work. I'm not sure how well it'll work, but I think it'll work. So that is something I think Nate's going to look to do for adjustments. And you know, the Cavs post is kind of shallow. I thought it was deeper before the series started, but it's pretty shallow. You know, after 11 Nance, they're pretty weak. So that'll be something fascinating to watch. Next adjustment, we'll go back to the Cavs. They're going to try to get Kyle Korver open more, because he was just deadly. Plus 15, second highest on the Cavs in game two. 4 for 8 from three, and I'll talk the Pacers' adjustment here too. But they're going to try to get Korver more of those looks. He spreads out the floor so much. He's the perfect sidekick for LeBron. Keeps the ball moving. He's not terrible on D. You can hide him on Bojan or whoever the least mobile guy is on the Pacers. There's always someone out there for Indiana who just doesn't cut great or isn't a great, you know, floor spacer. So I think you can get away with, or they can get away with Korver for 30 minutes a night. And you know, staying glued to him will be key for the Pacers, but trying to get him free will be exactly what the Cavs try to do every possession. They love the, as soon as the possession starts, just run a flare screen for him on the wing, or a pin, I guess that's a type of pin down, it's a pin down flare screen, whatever, it's, they could be both, to get him a look on the wing, and if it's not there, he just resets, but they try to start every possession with it, again, you can't lose him on anything. Like, if there's a pick and pop with LeBron, and Korver's the screener, stay on Korver, like, let LeBron do his thing, who cares, it's better than giving up a Korver three. But they're going to try to get Korver more shots almost for sure. So, you know, switching everything off ball with him and making sure you stay on him when he does do on ball stuff is going to be huge. He's so important to this Cleveland team. There's a reason they gave up a first for him last year. So I think that's something to watch for the Pacers. The flip side is the same. Like I just said, switch, stay with him, stay glued. And if he's on the weak side even, you know, you can come in, but don't come in as far. They got away with that a couple times on Jose Calderon in game one. They came in really far on their weak side help, and Calderon just missed his three threes. He was the guy that I thought had the biggest opportunity to expand his game into game two, and he was pretty good in game two. Better in game two, not pretty good. But, you got to stay close to him weak side, so that might open up some strong side stuff. So that's going to be where it's up to Turner or whoever's in the post to do better. And that's the next adjustment I think the Cavs are actually going to make. So I think they're going to attack Miles Turner more. I can't believe it, but I think they're going to attack Miles Turner more than they have been all series on purpose. I think we've seen a lot of, you know, Turner's been good in the post when Jeff Green is on the court, and he's been not so good in the post on defense when Jeff Green is off the court. That's because they can hide Turner on Jeff Green. But there's not really anyone else they can hide him on effectively. I mean, Nance a little bit, but Nance doesn't shoot ever, and Nance is really active and makes a move. So Turner, when either of those guys are out there, or even with just Nance out there, this still applies. Basically just Jeff Green. But if Jeff Green's not on the court, Turner is having some trouble defending in space, and he's getting beat at the rim a lot by LeBron or whoever LeBron sets up. I think the Cavs are going to go at him a ton. I think they're going to try to get him away in screen actions. I think they're going to just go right at him if he's the one-on-one defender down there. Maybe try to get him even in foul trouble, because he's been a lot better than Sabonis in this one. And that's probably their expanded game plan is pick and roll with Korver on the weak side and just go right at Miles over and over. And it's going to be up to Miles. You know, he's been good on offense all series. If he can anchor down and be a good post-rim protector in this one, you know, that could be what opens the game up for him. The flip side for him is don't hedge too high. It depends who the shooter is, I guess, but if he could stay back a little bit more on screens on any non-JR or Korver player, I think that'd be smart. Let everyone else chuck and just hope it doesn't go in. Even Calder, like, everyone's struggling a little bit for Cleveland, at least from deep, so I think that could work. They shot 40% last game, though, so maybe not. But I think he should drop a little bit more on Hedges, even give himself more chances to defend better at the rim. And try, if you're McMillan, to counter those two things. One is, if Jeff Green's in the game, just make sure Miles is in those minutes, because he's so much more effective in those. You can give him the rest when he's out and get a little more out of it. And two, the Hedges thing, like I said. But calling out the pick and roll early could help him too. You know, he can get in a better position right away. So communication on D will be another key one. I think another Cavs thing is they're just going to try to not play Jeff Green. I want to say it all, but they keep sticking him out there inexplicably to me. So I'll just go with less. I think they're going to continue to play Jeff Green less all playoffs until Ty Lue finally realizes that this dude is just terrible. Jeff Green is what has he played now? Like 35 minutes. He's like minus 25 in the series. He's useless. I say useless out there. But I want to talk a holistic thing here. I've seen a lot of people say, you know, LeBron scored 46 and they were up big at the beginning and the Pacers came back and, like, that's encouraging, you know, no moral victories, but that's encouraging. Like, I get the thought, but I think that the Cavs can play a lot better than they have in any game so far this series. The first two games, they had a worse points per possession than the Spurs did in the playoffs, points per possession. Like, that's super bad. And they have LeBron freaking James, who he scored 46, and it was crazy, but he only got 5 assists. And he can take over the game in so many more ways than just scoring, that I really think they have another level that the Pacers have not seen yet offensively. You know, Love's still struggling. Like we said, for Game 1, he's going to shoot more inside the line and get inside the three-point line in Game 2, and he did. Took 10 twos, and look at that. He was a lot better. He didn't shoot the greatest, but he was a way more effective player. So I think that they have another level, you know, with both Love and some other guys. Like, JR stunk in Game 2 after being pretty good in Game 1. Like, they have another level, I think, for sure, that could transform them into an even more high-powered offense. And that said, you know, the Pacers' defense did great in Game 1. They're going to have to get really good in Game 3 and onward of locking up their man, you know, forcing guys to the middle and icing these pick and rolls the right way and not losing your man and all the things that they did well in the first two games. They have to continue to do that and be sharper at it if they want to even have a chance. I mean, it's really hard to stop LeBron and shooters. The hope is just you outscore them. But I think they have shown that they can do okay against them. So I think they have to just be sharp and keep that up, because the Cavs, I think, do have another level. I think the Pacers have another level on offense too, though. You know, they have had some pretty poor shooting performances from deep this series. So I think they have another level too, which will be important to try to unlock. Bojan, I don't know if he'll ever shoot better in this series because he's exerting so much effort guarding LeBron. Talked about that a lot too. But if he gets hot, you know, he could change the whole game. DC's finally hitting again too. So there's really not a guy outside of Bojan who could shoot like so much better from three. I think a lot of it's just going to be decision-making. You know, Lance should probably not shoot as many threes. Vic went 2 of 8 and he went 6 of 9 in the first game. So for him, it's like all a gut check. Like, can he make it or not? But I don't really know what the answer is for him. I mean, he's now 8 of 17 in the series. That's still pretty good. But a 2 of 8 game is really bad. So it'll be important to see how he fares in another matchup. I think he could do better than 2 of 8. I don't think he can do as good as 6 of 9. So he'll be another key guy there, but just they got to be mindful of what threes are taking. Sabonis took 2 in the last one. Like, they're both end of shot clock or good looks, but still just being mindful of the shot you're taking could be something to monitor too. And Sabonis has to just be better going forward. He's been getting killed in those bag of minutes. He's not really hitting the glass super hard. He's not finishing anything at all. So Sabonis is another key guy to watch. Both ends of the floor, really. So my keys to the game are the changes I've already seen made. But I think the Pacers can win if Vic takes over the game. I think the Pacers can win any game in the series. But if Vic just has another, I put in air quotes, like, it's no big deal. It's a big deal, but it's actually just another one of these. If Victor has another 25-point game, and Miles continues to play as he has, I think they'll be in it, but I don't think they'll run away with it. If they can play great defense and Vic has a 30-point game, I think they win. If Vic struggles, I think they only win if Bojan and Darren can both shoot the lights out, and they make all the perfect adjustments. But there's a lot of ways they lose, too, just because it's LeBron's team. So we'll have to see what happens. I think it'll be a great game. I'm going to be there tonight, so if you are also going to be there, hit me up on Twitter at TEastNBA. I'd love to talk with anyone. It's fun to be at those games. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be the gold out. So wear your gold, get loud, have a lot of fun. So, enjoy your weekend. Two playoff games. We'll be back probably Sunday to recap this one. It'll be me and Adam, but thank you for listening, and enjoy the game and your weekend, everybody.